Another endearingly shambolic podcast from WeDigPodcasts.com.
You're listening to Free With This Month's Issue. As always, please support the bands and artists featured in each episode by buying their records and going to their gigs. Each episode we'll be adding all available tracks to our ongoing Spotify playlist, which you can find on WeDigPodcasts.com. You can also find our other episodes and podcasts there. If you want to agree with us, or more likely argue with us, or even appear in a future episode, you can find us on Twitter at This Month's Issue and Facebook at Free With This Month's Issue. Also, if you enjoy the podcast, then let people know. Like, subscribe, review it on iTunes, tattoo it on your forehead, etc. Right, let's get on with it then. And that's why I'm banned from Toycross Zoo.
Not because they keep mistaking you for an orangutan.
That as well.
So, welcome to Free With This Month's Issue, a podcast where we talk about orangutans and free magazine CDs.
Indeed.
So, Colin, who have we got this month?
We've got Jenny with us this time.
Hello,
Jenny
everyone.
Hipkiss.
Hello.
This is our second attempt.
I wasn't going to admit that.
I totally am, because it's our mythical lost episode.
Mythical lost episode, I'm honoured.
It's like Prince's Black Album. And
It's exactly like...
It is, and the original Beach Boys version of Smile.
Yeah.
And that podcast I recorded with Mike Driver about 4 years ago that he still hasn't put out.
Now, that exists. He's just fucking lazy and disorganised. Yeah.
This is
Mike.
So
I was scheduled to record one with him. Have I done it? No.
Mike, put out more podcasts. They're good. So, Jenny.
Yes.
What CD have you chosen?
I chose the Cool List. So this was out of two CDs that I ever saved from the front of magazines. The last episode was the first one, and then this was essentially our backup. However, I've found a lot to enjoy in there. So it's 2004 copy of The Enemy.
It was cool. 1st of December 2004.
Wow, so late 2004.
Yes. Okay. So it was the week before Enemy had released their Cool List of that year, which was an arbitrary list of people that they thought were cool, which is clearly bollocks, because Johnny Borrell from Razorlight is at number 4.
Oh, Jesus.
And he's a massive twat.
Yes.
Why would you even bring up Razorlight?
And Morrissey is at number 6.
Oh, well.
That was pre-Gammon, Morrissey.
Things
though,
are different
no,
now.
No, it was not. Was he's it always not? Been a fucking Gammon.
No, just... come on. There is he's a spectrum, and he's got much more gammony recently.
He has
got 2004,
worse.
I probably still would have listened to his music.
Yeah, like,
however,
Bacon
it is not now the
point.
Case. Yes.
He's just thickened up
just
and
a bit
become...
hammy.
I like the idea of describing Morrissey as various different kinds of cured meats.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I know he won't like it.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
So,
Turkey bacon.
Number one on the cool list was two people, which is cheating, Enemy. It was Carl Barrett and Pete Doherty. Is it Doherty or Doherty?
Doherty, isn't it?
I think it's Doherty.
Yeah, because it rhymes with cock.
Righty. Yeah. We'll go with that. Other people on there are all the people on the CD.
Is that the first time someone who clearly murdered someone has got to the top of the Enemy's call list?
Had he murdered somebody at that point?
That was the point that... Well, or was it after, when that dude fell off his balcony, conveniently?
I think that was later on.
Ah.
Yeah, that was a couple of years after. But yeah,
so surely it was about the point in time where he like robbed his managers.
Oh, almost certainly he was an absolute crackhead. But so, 1st of December 2004, music news. The BBC announced that Top of the Pops would be moving from its Friday evening BBC One slot to a Sunday evening on BBC Two in mid 2005, which essentially killed it off because nobody watched it. Enemy were absolutely obsessed with what they called guerrilla gigs at the time, which was bands playing secret gigs just in a tube train or under a bridge somewhere or something like that.
Okay.
And U2 jumped on that craze by playing a secret unannounced gig at a ferry station in New York, which, according to this particular issue of The Enemy, there were... 30,000 lucky fans, so it can't have been that fucking secret.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, the amount of time it's going to take to set up Edge's guitar rigs, someone's going to notice.
True. And also, a week after this issue, sadly, Dimebag Darrell and three other people were murdered on stage by a deranged fan in Columbus, Ohio. The UK number one single was I'll Stand By You by Girls Aloud, which was not a good Girls Aloud single. Their covers are never as good as their own songs. It was One Space Above Lose My Breath by Destiny's Child, which is a much better song.
It's a banger.
Yeah.
It's a cracking song.
Number one album was U2, How to Dismantle an Atomic Bomb. Album was released around this time. It's Christmas, so there's hardly any albums, proper albums, released. It's nearly
surely there's a Bublé, right?
Yeah, and were we into reality?
It may have been pre-Bublé at that point.
Pre-Bublé?
I don't even remember
a
time.
Can you imagine it, Ian?
I cannot.
It's just horrible, isn't it?
The days of Michael Ball. That's all we had.
But it was mostly reissues, compilations, best-ofs. But the two significant new releases around that time were Gwen Stefani's first solo album, Love Angel Music Baby, and Jay-Z and Linkin Park's Collision Course.
Ah.
Collision Course? Collision Course.
Collision Course.
Yes. On tour around that time, Shellac, The Darkness, The Prodigy, Manic Street Preachers, who were supported by Hope of the State, who were amazing, Vanilla Ice, and The Faint, who I went to see that week at the Custard Factory in Birmingham.
I feel like I'd legit have gone to see Vanilla Ice if I'd known about that at that point.
I think that might have been around his sort of new metal period as well.
Yeah, yeah, which was actually not that bad.
Yeah. That Faint gig, my girlfriend at the time somehow managed to sleep through the entire thing. I don't know how, because it was a fucking amazing gig. In the magazine, so in this issue of The Enemy, the first appearance of the Arcade Fire, there's a news feature from one of the American correspondents. There's an interview with Exhibit, who's concerned that Alec Kapranos from Franz Ferdinand's trousers are too tight and it might affect his sperm count.
That's fantastic. It's really considerate.
Yeah. He seems like a nice guy.
Is X going to give it to you? Advice.
Yes, that's what he's referring to, clearly, advice. And there's an interview with David Walliams and Matt Lucas about Little Britain.
Oof.
Which,
it's
unfortunately,
not aged well.
It's not. It was shit at the time, but it's second only to Mrs. Brown's Boys, I think, in utterly fucking terrible comedy.
That's pretty bad.
It's all designed around fucking punching down and homophobia and racism, which proves that Matt Lucas, as a gay man, is unusual because he's a gay man who's clearly homophobic.
That's not unusual.
I know a few.
So I think we should probably get on with listening to the CD.
Okay, let's see if
play
I can
track
find
one.
Where the play button is So this is Goldie Looking Chain with 21 ounces. Way better than it has any right to be, isn't it? The whole of that album is amazing.
And it's... I don't know why this keeps happening, but they're another band from Newport. I don't know if I'm just noticing it because we mentioned it in one of the earlier episodes that so-and-so was from Newport and then somebody else was. But it seems like nearly every episode there is a band from Newport.
Newport Connection.
So there must be every single person in Newport was in a band, but none of them were as good as Dub War.
I feel like a lot of them were in Goldie Looking Chain, though. There's like a lot of
dudes. There's a big band, there's quite a few.
Including the fantastically named Adam Hussein.
Adam Hussein is the best
guy
name
on that track. My sister once went to see Goldie Looking Chain and they had a raffle. And she won
first. It's a meat raffle.
No, it's better than that. She won first prize, and the prize was one of the band's old Noel Edmonds Telly Addicts board game with most of the pieces missing.
That's fantastic.
Quality.
I love Goldie Looking Chain.
So, you got much of a
history with Goldie Looking Chain?
No, zero. This is it. This is the only involvement I had with Goldie Looking Chain. I think I've like seen them across social media and stuff sort of more recently. Obviously, I think this song is obviously a bit of a spin on like 21 Seconds.
It was just a little bit.
Grime hit. 21 Ounces of Blow.
Yes.
Little, like, what were they talking about?
I don't know.
Me neither.
It's somewhere out of my frame of reference.
Absolutely.
Should we go for the next track?
Uh-huh. Yes.
So this is Kaiser Chiefs and a live version of I Predict a Riot.
Can't even count properly, can I?
No.
Fuck.
Fucking shoot me is all I can say to this song.
It's still rubbish, isn't it?
Yes.
Just, they destroyed indie music. I hold this band responsible for the end of indie as I knew it, and I loved it. They were the first indie band to incorporate a fucking uniform. They were the tweed jacketed, and then everybody had to dress the same, and the music was like pop masquerading as indie, and it was just, things were just never the same, Colin. I feel very, very strongly about the Kaiser Chiefs.
I can dig that. They're just wank. Also, they had a keyboard player called Peanut, and I've listened quite closely to that track, and it was horrible, but I can't hear any fucking keyboards on it anywhere. So that I think he might be like,
because he was actually a peanut.
Yeah, fucking penis. Thankfully, they're mostly off, or at least my radar these days.
Yeah,
Pricky
Wilson's on The Voice, isn't he?
Is he? That's why he's
on. Like, who wants to know his opinion on anything? Most of all, music.
Oh, this man has a very good voice.
Well,
you haven't.
He was recently supposed to be on Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast.
Right.
But they're not putting that episode out because he was completely drunk and was apparently standing on the front of the stage trying to antagonise all the audience.
Oh.
So they put out they record two episodes at a time.
Yeah.
And they put out the episode afterwards, which was two blokes from Emmerdale or something, who were actually quite funny. But there were loads of references to what went on earlier. And then they've never put the episode out. And there's like little clues around Twitter from people that went there that apparently it was Ricky Wilson that was the other half of that episode, and he was being a complete bellend.
Oh, the only
unsurprising
one I've listened to is
Brian Blessed.
Brian Blessedborn, which is amazing and nearly caused me to crash my car.
It is excellent. I think we should go for the next track because fuck the Kaiser Chiefs.
Yeah, fuck the Kaiser Chiefs.
This is the Future Heads.
I knew that because I recognised his voice from their cover version of The Hounds of Love.
Yes, their hit.
Yes.
First Day. I think they had another couple of minor hits around the time.
Decent Days and Nights was an amazing tune.
Yes.
Really, really good.
The thing that always got me about the Future Heads is that they're called the Future Heads, but they sound like they come from the past.
Irony? I don't know.
Maybe irony.
They've all got heads, though.
I loved the Future Heads, and I really love this tune as well.
I was really happy
to listen to it again.
I've not listened to much of the Future Heads in quite a while, but I absolutely loved them at the time. I was really into the angular post-punk type stuff, which is all over this CD, but they were one of the better proponents of it. Definitely.
Really good energy. I like hearing an accent when they're singing.
That's
as
it.
Well.
His Sunderland accent.
Yeah,
he's brilliant.
Yeah.
You know, it makes it a lot more interesting than just another, you know, London snarl kind of.
Yeah, totally.
Accent.
Which you'll know, like the rest of the CD, very much.
There's a fair few
says
on there.
That, and considering, say, of everything on the CD, this is the only band I actually own the album of.
Okay.
That this tune came from.
There's a couple I've got.
Noting.
All over this CD is there's a producer called Paul Epworth, who was like the sound of 2004.
No.
And he's produced about half of the bands on this CD, but he produced nearly every song on the Future Heads debut album except for this one.
Oh, really?
So,
I was going to say, if this is the sound of the rest of the CD, then I'm not excited.
There's definitely at least one track.
Not the song, just the sound. The recording was a bit shoddy.
He does amazing remixes.
Does he?
Some of my favourite remixes are it's when he remixes it, it's under the name of Phones. But I prefer that to his actual normal straight ahead producing. Let's go for the next track.
All right.
So this is the Rakes and Strasbourg.
Okay.
So that's generally my thoughts on it. It's okay.
The thing I don't like is the pacing. Like, because the whole band are like at X speed and then the vocals come in at half time. It's like, oh, dude, could you not even be fucking bothered?
There's a previously mentioned Phones remix.
Speed the vocals up?
It's a different track, Repeat.
Right.
Which was one of their other singles, which I used to play nearly every time I DJed around this sort of time. And it's absolutely fucking brilliant. But it's got way more oomph to it, basically.
This was really just basic formulaic, let's write a punk song that lasts 2.5 minutes and then just bang it on whatever, like, I've bored by. I've heard the same thing done much, much better.
Yeah.
Sounded like he really wanted to be Alex from Franz Ferdinand as well.
Yeah.
It's around that time. It's all those bands are the same sort of...
You're going to hear that again on this compilation, Ian, okay?
No. Although Franz Ferdinand aren't on it.
Well,
for that.
That's all right. I'm okay with that. I just don't like the over-pronunciation, like the... I'm very clever, listen to the way I speak.
Well, I think that's a similar kind of thing, because that obviously is a song about Strasbourg and West Germany in the 1980s. Which I think they might be going for a let's write a song about the cleverest thing we can think of in a similar sort of Franz Ferdinand that kind of way.
It certainly does seem like it, doesn't it? That's like if someone told me that that's what the song was about, I'd be like, wanker.
Next track.
Unless it was Kelly from Block Party, in which case I'd be like, yeah, okay.
So this is Nine Black Alps and Cosmopolitan.
They had a song that was good, didn't they?
Yeah, it wasn't that one.
I don't remember. I remember the band name, but I don't remember.
They
much
had a song that
song.
Sounded a lot more like Nirvana-y and interesting.
That rings a bell, actually.
I remember burning one onto a compilation CD at some point, and it wasn't this.
Yeah, I've actually played it DJing a couple of times.
Okay,
it wasn't this one.
Can either of you remember the name?
No.
Absolutely not. So it can't have been that good.
Yeah.
I'm going to Google it. Talk amongst yourselves.
I believe they were from Manchester. That's about the extent of my knowledge of Nine Black Alps.
There's a bit of rock and roll energy on there, which probably isn't anywhere else on the CD. Obviously, you know, this seemed to be quite a time for a specific kind of indie. I suppose Nine Black Alps were just doing something else.
I was unsatisfied, that's what
right.
There you go.
Which is what I am about that song.
Nice.
Let's go for the next track, which is a lot better.
Yeah.
This is Helicopter by Block Party.
Yes.
Hooray!
I love this song.
It's a fucking great song.
I think this CD might have been the first time I heard them as well, because the album wasn't out until a good 2-3 months later.
I think it was probably mine as well then. Yeah. Just excellent, urgent sounding indie, like what you want from indie, like please.
And it's a similar style to a lot of the other stuff, but
it's just done better.
The way it's played and produced is so much cleaner that it just cuts through.
Yeah,
you know, whereas the other bits sound really sort of shambolic.
It is a clean sounding song, isn't it? Like, particularly the drums. I remember, you know, this is one of the first bands I really properly singled out the drums and would listen to them, particularly the snare sound and things like that. So clean, so sharp, and excellent.
And the same with the guitar, because they're all, it's nearly all like single notes. They don't do much chords, and it's, they've got two guitar lines sort of interweaving the whole time. And, they're fucking great. This is definitely in the top two songs on the CD, possibly number one. But it's Silent Alarm's a fucking brilliant album. The second album's brilliant.
Third album's great.
I don't know it as well.
Really good. A lot more electronic.
But I also I saw the guitarist's new band, Nova Cub, the other week supporting My Vitriol. Jenny was at the gig, but he didn't get there for the support band.
I'm too cool for, to see the support. No, I will always see the support when I was catching up with friends, and obviously my Vitriol was a focus, so I'm sad to have missed them now. You said that they were alright.
They were really good, sort of. They were a lot more pop than Block Party. They were sort of indie pop with a big sort of, it was a massive like 90s dance influence on it. Which kind of makes a lot of sense based on where Block Party went later on with their sound and stuff like Flux. But yeah, it's their guitarist and their current drummer, who's a female drummer. She's the singer and guitarist and other guitarist in Nova Cub. So definitely worth checking out.
Kelly's new solo album sounds fucking wicked.
Yeah, I heard that one track in your car yesterday, and it was pretty good. Have you heard the rest of it?
No, I've heard another track, and that was also good.
Cool. I mean, talking about Kelly, I think at this point, obviously he was a gay black frontman of an indie band,
which there weren't any.
Yeah, I've known my indie pretty well, and I don't think there was any other. Again, indie's a very white music, particularly, and not particularly hetero, but you know, to have. I don't think his sexuality was even spoken about at that point.
Second album.
Not that it was secret, it just wasn't made a big deal of.
I remember it being made quite a big thing when they released the second album.
Because there were a lot of songs. Yeah, there's a lot of songs with really heavy implications about it.
And yeah. Right. Which is. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's good that it was so. I don't think people had a problem with it. I think it was quite accepted in the scene.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But I mean, he was one of the only black indie musicians anyway. There was the drummer from the Libertines. He's about the only other one I can think of around this sort of time.
Yeah, and no one really remembers
Horrors?
That dude, unfortunately.
The black guy Horrors,
was that? Okay, was
maybe.
Did they just all wear black and have black hair?
I can tell the difference between people with black skin and not black skin, so I think it was a black person.
I don't see colour.
Are you colour blind? Okay.
I fucking love Block Party. They're amazing. And I think Helicopter's still my favourite Block Party song.
It's great. And I lied, actually, I did have their album as well. Yeah. So these Block Party and the Future Heads are the two albums that I own.
I'm just looking at pictures of the Horrors.
I think they have changed their lineup a few times.
Yeah, so I've looked at lots of pictures of the Horrors.
I'm thinking of a different band. I'm thinking of a two-piece band.
Oh, it's definitely not the Horrors, though.
Yeah. Okay.
Look how fucking white they are.
Holy shit, that's the whitest band I've ever seen.
Yes.
Okay. I'm definitely thinking of another band.
Brilliant, let's go for the next track.
We'll be right back.
basically, who is this?
This is The Dears and a song called Lost the Plot.
They sound like you'd hear them in a lift.
Very, very boring. And he sounds like he's trying to hit a Morrissey vocal somewhere. Well, that was the vibe.
I've
and just
definitely
don't, mate.
Lurking around the edge.
He wasn't
of
I think he can't decide whether he wants to be Morrissey or Damon Albarn. Which suggests that Ian would absolutely fucking hate this.
Christ. What a fucking conundrum.
There was a touch of the Albarns in there, definitely.
That kind of sort of inflection in there.
Do I sound like a gammon or a lazy fucking vocalist?
Both.
Yeah, like especially that bit where he just peters out.
He gave up on himself, because we gave up on you 2 minutes before
they
that.
They turned his headphones on and he was like, oh do I sound like that?
Yeah. Just before the bridge, worth listening out for. There is also a really, really shit high keyboard sound.
There's a lot of shit on there. Washy, but it's not shoegazy. That's the thing. It's just really fucking beige sounds.
Yeah,
very beige. That keyboard, it sounded like a stylophone.
It
was barely
really
keyboard, just like fucking shit.
Yeah.
Like, who thought there's something missing from this song? That is what's going to make this complete, and we're going to publish it.
I've got this old broken Casio.
Yeah.
Fuck it, throw it on.
The settings are stuck onto one setting. Yeah. Yes, let's use that.
And the batteries are running out.
And the batteries are running out, like that guy's voice. Yes.
Let's go for the next track.
Please.
Please.
Like Christmas, Colin.
It does, doesn't it? The Concrete's Chico.
So many bands with the in the name.
This was the year of the. Not the though.
No.
Not the.
The Concrete's were Swedish.
Kind of
they had
that.
8 members. But you
swear.
Generally, I mean, they got that kind of Phil Spector-y sound. So, kind of bit of a wall of sound, but quite quietly.
Yeah.
I really liked it, and I would have really liked it to have just been an instrumental. I felt quite disappointed when the vocal came in. I thought it was quite relaxing and nice, and it would have been like, I wasn't loving the vocal really.
Yeah, the melody that she first hits properly made me smirk, because it just sounded like it was missed, basically. You know when you go for a note and you're like, oh no.
Yeah, sometimes that's okay, because it kind of reminds me of Mazzy Star. It's got that kind of... Hope Sandoval's a little bit sort of... almost flat, but not quite.
Yeah.
Which has then influenced people like Lana Del Rey in that kind of, like, almost lethargic sort of vocal style. And I think that's where she's kind of coming from. But I bought the album at the time. I really, really, really liked it.
I really liked the slide guitar that came in. That was nice.
Yeah. But this is a song about her cat, Chico.
Okay.
Who, according to the lyrics, is a fortune teller.
Well, yeah, obviously.
Yeah, I don't know if that's entirely true. But, you know, who are we to argue? Let's go for the next track. This is Baby Shambles with Baby Shambles. I'm not sure whether it was from the album Baby Shambles, because I can't remember what their album was called.
It's fucking shit though.
Sounds like it could have been. Yeah.
Pete Docky, isn't it? As we've established, it's pronounced.
Massively overrated shitehook.
Yeah. Although, to be fair, Baby Shambles had one really good song. Kilimanjaro was really, really good.
Right.
And I did like some Libertines tracks. What a Waste is great. Up the Bracket's good. I once went to see the Sonics, the old 60s garage rock band, who were playing at Kentish Town Forum with the Horrors, who we've established were all white.
Yeah.
Super white.
Sorry.
They were supporting, and then it was never officially announced, but it was quite a well-known rumour that he was going to be doing a solo acoustic set as the opening support. And obviously, as he tended to do at that time, he was much more bothered about smoking crack and didn't bother turning up.
I've heard it's really Moorish.
I've seen a documentary about that. And one of the roadies came out on stage to break the news to everybody that unfortunately Pete couldn't make it that evening, so he wasn't going to be playing. And I've never heard a bigger cheer from a band when something's been cancelled.
Amazing. Yeah, because the Horrors would have been fucking great.
The Horrors, see, I've seen them live in various different incarnations.
Yeah.
I think I've seen them live for their first three albums, and each time they've had like one good song. And I've never really been that into them.
That whole album when they went super synth pop was fucking great. Yeah. That was all great. Counting Fives is a wicked song.
Yeah, they've had good songs. Their version of Jack the Ripper off the first album was fucking great.
Also good, yeah.
The main problem with Pete Doherty is he's a bit of a selfish cunt, really. So let's
just
go to the next track.
Cuntishness.
Yeah. That was a segue.
Yes.
This is the excellently named Selfish Cunt.
Say that again, Colin.
Selfish Cunt.
Hey.
Nice.
With the song I Love New York. I love the drum programming on it.
It legit sounds like an indie version of Skinny Puppy.
Yeah. There's definitely serious industrial vibes going on.
Totally.
Yeah.
The guitar sounds great.
It just needs some bass. It's the only thing missing.
I liked how bare it was. I think that left more room for the performance poetry style vocal stuff. Like I liked it. I felt a bit raw. Yeah.
I think I'd prefer Ogre from Skinny Puppy doing the vocals. Because it would just he was going for a threatening vibe, but I can tell that he looks like a librarian.
He's a really skinny dude, if I remember correctly. Yes.
19 years old.
Yeah.
You know, definitely like quite a skinny guy and just trying his best, bless him.
When I worked in a record shop at the time when this came out, and one of my jobs at one point was to censor the album cover of this one, so I had to put stickers over the U and the N, and basically what I did was just put different letters on there. So the CDs that we had in there was like Selfish Coot, Selfish Celt, Selfish Coat and Selfish Clot.
Nice.
I don't think we ever sold a single copy at the time. I'd probably have bought it if I'd listened to it more, because I actually really like that. They did a really, really, really amusing cover of My Prerogative by Bobby Brown.
Really?
As well.
I would listen to the shit out of that.
I only found that out the other week when I was doing a bit of research, and I listened to it and it's fucking ace.
See, I never became a fan of Selfish Cunt, although I've met a few.
Hey.
Yeah, but listening to that again, I would look more into the back catalogue, definitely.
Yeah. Which, who would have thought in 2004 that would be the band that we're really enthusing about on CD?
Who knows?
It ticks a lot of my boxes, just not the intimidating singer box.
Yeah. Cool. Let's go for the next song, which definitely does not have an intimidating singer.
Well, that one didn't.
No.
Realistically.
No longer applies to me. this is Art Brut.
Art Brut.
I would say Bruce.
Art Brut. Bad Weekend.
They're a band that I've heard bandied around a lot, and I've never heard them, and I'm glad.
Aww, I really like that tune.
I've got a bit of a soft spot for Art Brut.
Like, I like the music, but I just didn't like his. I think the guys at NME thought it was hilariously ironic to put a song
put
about.
That on there.
Yeah, like, haven't read the NME in so long, don't know what genre we belong to.
Yeah. I really felt that really took me back to that time. That really took me back. It was very much of that time. It sounded like 2004, and I would hear that out, and, you know.
The main one that I remember from the time was We Formed a Band.
Oh, that's an amazing tune.
Yeah. We formed a band.
Yeah.
The singer, Eddie Argos, which is a fucking brilliant name.
Yeah.
But he is a bit of an acquired taste. People are either going to like him or hate him. As we have demonstrated.
Yeah.
Yeah. I felt like he initially got a bit of a Scroobius Pip vibe to his pronunciation, and then I was like, no, but you're not.
I think he might be from around the same sort of area.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I could be completely wrong in that, but just definitely similar accent.
But just not as good a lyricist.
No. Scroobius fucking fantastic, though. So, let's go for the next track.
All right.
Children and I Hate Models, which is a song he wrote when he got frustrated while making an Airfix kit, I reckon.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, that seems
like, you know.
It can be very frustrating, Colin. Don't you know, diminish his experience.
Yeah, once super glued my fingers together,
there
it was
you
real.
Go.
Yeah.
Shouldn't be building Airfix with super glue, mate.
That's true, I haven't. Yeah.
It's a polystyrene cement.
That is true.
Everyone knows that. Fucking
I've not made one for like fucking 25 years, probably.
Yeah, roundabout.
Yeah. It's all right. It's fairly generic punk. Probably be very fun live.
Yeah, no, I quite liked it, actually.
I really liked it, and I can imagine watching that in the Flapper, not with the biggest crowd of people there, but like enjoying it. That's where that sort of...
About 25, 30 people all jumping
max,
around at the front.
Max, yeah, just thinking, actually, yeah, this is a banger, and, you know, it's like, and I've had like 5 pints of cider, so let's go for it. Yeah.
Cool, let's go for the next track.
Okay.
This is The Others and Stan Bowles, who I believe is some kind of football-y person.
Yeah.
Or was. I fucking hated this band at the time. I don't mind it that much listening to it now.
There's a lot of interesting stuff going on instrumentation-wise.
Yes.
I like the interplay between guitar and...
The vocalist is fucking terrible, though.
God, yeah.
Dreadful. That was really bad.
That was basically... Like, I feel like you could describe this CD with that sentence.
Yeah.
Interesting music, terrible vocals.
Yeah.
Like,
was it NME at this time when the stuff about the Gorilla Gigs that I mentioned earlier, the Others were kind of like the main band doing that sort of thing.
Ah.
They were playing gigs on like rush hour tube trains, which would really fucking piss me off.
Yeah.
Uninvited. Like, if you're going to do it, there'd be some good music. If you're going to go on the tube when people are just trying to do what they need to do, and then you're going to play some shit music, it's very self-indulgent, I would think.
Yeah. And that, they made a big thing about like giving their mobile number out to fans and stuff, I can remember.
Nobody wants it, mate. Nobody wants it.
Well, no, they did. Which is what's weird. There was a guy we knew in a band that sounded exactly like all these bands that Ian knew, exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh, I do, don't I?
Yes. Who I can remember at the time really proudly showing me that he'd got Dominic Masters, the singer, from The Other's phone number. I was like,
just take his phone off him and go,
you should go,
fuck off, Dominic. Suck.
Send. Just, you know, order loads of taxis to his house at 3 o'clock in the morning or something. But really weirdly, they had a really out of place looking guitarist.
Yeah.
He's got like big Robert Smith hair, and he played a do you remember those like yellowy gold sparkle Epiphone Les Pauls?
Yeah.
Oz from Psychosis had.
Oh, gold tops. Yes. Yeah.
No, gold tops are, this was like really big flake.
Oh.
Sparkly gold.
Oh god, yeah.
That looked really, really cheap and shit. But yeah.
I just felt like this was another band with the in the title,
yeah.
And I felt like I'd heard that song 20 times before done.
On this CD.
On this CD.
We're only 13 tracks in.
Exactly, exactly.
But that's the end of the songs that sound like that on the CD, thankfully, so let's go for
it. We did our time.
The indie landfill.
Harp, Colin.
I love Joanna Newsom.
Oh, I have heard this before.
Yes, you have heard this before. We've done an episode on it. This is Joanna Newsom, Sprout and the Bean.
Yes.
This is the first time I ever heard Joanna Newsom, and I immediately went out and bought the album.
She's got quite a Marmitey voice, has she not?
Oh, mate, I hated it. Oh, fuck. This is what I would have listened to, that old harp intro. As soon as that voice started, switch off.
That's the thing.
Absolutely hated it.
Very polarising, because she sounds like a 6-year-old on her first couple of albums.
Well, when I was revising the CD today, I watched it on YouTube, and I did not expect that sound to come out of her mouth. Like, I'm pleased that she was playing the harp as well, so it's not like another harpist and then like she's the thing, but yeah. Damn.
She's her voice changed later on in her career, so it's a bit
on the
less
advice of industry professionals, maybe.
She damaged her voice. She got nodes on her vocal cords, couldn't speak for ages.
Mm.
And then
because she spent her whole time trying to sound like a child.
It's, possibly.
Yeah.
No, sing properly.
Not for me.
But
not
I
for me.
Love it. It is for me.
I can't remember whether where I came down on it on the We Dig Music episode. I feel like it's grown on me. If I didn't like it, I kind of like it now.
And the harp playing's fucking amazing.
I want
a harp.
It is.
They're very expensive.
And they go out of tune like every time you move them, pretty much. So don't do it.
No. I'll just
leave the harps for the experts.
The harp VST synth that I use all the time, called Plucked on Fruity Loops.
Everybody get Plucked.
Yeah.
Instead.
So let's
I'm
go for
fucking
the
hilarious
final,
me.
Final so track funny. On the CD.
Okay.
Sun don't set in Gettysville, the place that I call home. 1,000 people walk these streets, but we're still all alone. This city's
now, this is Willie Mason and Live It Up. It's pretty good. I quite like it.
Yeah. Like, did they record the vocals down a telephone?
It's that kind of strokes kind of thing. It was very fashionable at the time, wasn't it?
But every the acoustic was beautifully produced.
It's obviously a conscious decision.
Yeah, it's quite jarring.
But it's I'm always disappointed that this song "Live It Up" isn't a cover of Mental as Anything's 1985 hit of the same name.
Yes,
because that's Ace, who coincidentally had a bass player called Peter O'Doherty.
Oh no!
But I don't think it was the same guy.
Probably not.
I
suspect not.
Willie Mason was from Martha's Vineyard, which is where they filmed Jaws, and that's the only real fact I know about him.
Huh?
I think I first heard about Willie Mason. I think Zane Lowe had gone to a South by Southwest, probably back in those in those days before South by Southwest became shit, and sort of said that he'd seen Willie Mason just playing on the side of the road in Austin and and whatever. I mean, I was quite bored by this song, honestly. I don't mind a bit of singer-songwriter stuff. I quite like some acoustic stuff, but that wasn't really pushing any buttons for me.
I seem to remember at the time that he had better songs than this, but I don't remember what they are. I've got an early EP of his.
Maybe you should have listened to it before.
I probably should have done.
I mean, like, it's my job to not know what the fuck I'm talking about. I come into this cold.
I was busy listening to other things.
You meant to be lukewarm. You meant to come into this lukewarm. That's
both. That's the end of the CD.
Yeah, we survived.
So we did. And it appears to still be recording.
Fingers crossed.
Double excitement.
So, Jenny, I think we probably need to plug some things.
We can plug some things.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I am a person who does laser tattoo removal. That is who I am and what I do. I do that around the Midlands. I do it mobile. I drive to people's houses with a laser in my car and zap them.
I think it's really the stench of burning flesh.
It's not burning, it just gets warm. Isn't that like burning flesh? That's not a really good sales point for laser tattoo removal. It doesn't burn.
What does it smell like then?
It smells like if you were to put a pork scratching in the microwave.
That smells warm it a lot up a like bit.
That's it. I call it the smell of success. It's fine. The tattoos, they go.
But it's, for example, the person that we spoke about in the previous episode with the him and the in me tattoo, it could be a very useful service.
He deserves to have his flesh burnt.
Yeah. I do free tattoo removal for Lost Profits tattoos.
Yes.
Ditto Nickelback.
Yeah. Seems fair.
Call me.
No. What other bands? Do you add any?
Just those two.
Just those two. That's
the rest you're on.
That seems fair. Seems fair.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose.
So, are you on Twitter or anything like that?
I do not tweet. I tried. I cannot. I am on Facebook and also Instagram. No Regrets Tattoo Removal. That is me.
Indeedy.
Would have been funnier if it was No Ragrets.
No Regrets.
Excellent. So, thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.